Welcome to Supersized Science, where we feature research and discoveries nationwide, enabled by advanced computing technology and expertise at the Texas Advanced Computing Center of the University of Texas at Austin. I'm Jorge Salazar, a science writer at TAC. A data set on seismic and tsunami hazards of a coastal Oregon town has received a 2023 Design Safe Dataset Award, given in recognition of the dataset's diverse contributions to natural hazards research. First, a word about Design Safe. It's a comprehensive cyber infrastructure that is part of the NSF-funded Natural Hazards Engineering Research Infrastructure, or NERI, and it provides cloud-based tools to manage, analyze, understand, and publish critical data for research to understand the impacts of natural hazards. TAC works with Design Safe to provide cyber infrastructure and software development. On the podcast to talk about their award-winning research are Dan Cox, a professor in civil engineering, and Andre Barbosa, a professor in structural engineering, both at Oregon State University. Drs. Cox and Barbosa, welcome to the podcast.
I'm hoping that you could tell me about some of the findings of your team's report on data of these built natural and societal systems of a sleepy town in Oregon called Seaside. This is data which received a 2023 Design Safe Dataset Award.
Sure, I'll start. Initially, the dataset was conceived as a multi-hazard dataset. So a lot of researchers are interested in studying the combined effects of two hazards. In this case, it was combined earthquake, the strong ground motion with the tsunami. And so we always envision this dataset as a tool that researchers can use to see, for example, how changes to the built environment might improve the resilience to one hazard or the other hazard, or are there solutions that can kind of have multiple benefits to minimize the damage and loss from two hazards combined? And also exploring interesting things like, are these solutions universal across a community, or do they have a stronger impact, for example, closer to the shoreline for a tsunami hazard, and then uniformly across the community for the earthquake hazard? So those were some of the key things that we initially started with on looking at the multi-hazards.
Yeah, with that, interesting. It's more on the data as well, but in terms of how we collected the data so that we can actually do this type of analysis that Dan was mentioning. So we looked at the built environment, including housing, including buildings, roads, bridges, water pipes, electric poles, and power lines. So essentially, our infrastructure, we had to collect data on that so that we can assess risk and we can assess the resilience of the community. If the community is impacted by the hazards that Dan was mentioning, earthquake and tsunami, we assess damage, we try to assess loss, and then we assess how the community bounces back. What is that recovery? And so we needed all of these data sets as part of this data overall data set that's in Design Safe in order to be able to answer those different questions.
One of the other things we were interested in with this data set was the aspect of risk. And that requires probabilistic approach and trying to define, for example, the mean recurrence interval of these different types of hazards, both ground motion and tsunami. And so a lot of effort went early on into creating, for the first time, probabilistic seismic and tsunami hazard analysis. So at any location in the city, we could look, for example, what would be the equivalent 500-year flood level and the 500-year ground motion, so that we can repeat these experiments or these simulations at different recurrence intervals, 100-year, 500-year, all the way up to 10,000-year. And that allows us to understand the risk for a community. And that's a kind of a step change from looking at just a scenario. So we were really trying to push the computational side and how, you know, some of these computational methods can allow us to look more at a risk-informed decision rather than just worst case or a selected scenario from a community.
Could you speak to Design Safe and how they helped your team meet some of these computational challenges?
I can't say enough about the Design Safe team. They were instrumental in helping us understand what possible formats the data set could take. So, you know, it's fairly unique to build out a test bed. And they were great in saying, okay, well, here's the different ways this can be structured. They really got us to think about what the structure of that data set could look like. And then the tools are great to, you know, to publish the data, to be able to link the data set with the existing journal papers that you talked about, and even future papers that come out. We can, you know, append the metadata so that we can draw attention to the different papers that are using the data set. So I think from my perspective, it's been good. The students that have been involved, they like to see that, you know, they get credit for the DOI. You know, it's good for them to be able to talk about it. And I just think it's really accelerating research by being able to, you know, archive this data set. So if the model is being run, it's being run on this data set. These are the answers we got at that time. If there are changes to the model or changes to the data, you'll be able to track that over time. So I really, really, really like the idea that it's a published data set at this time. And then, but it allows for improvements later on.
I would give a big shout out to Maria Esteva and a lot of the work that, as Anne was mentioning, but just the students reaching out to her, they have an idea of how the data should be organized. And our suggestion is talk to Maria, present your idea. And then usually she has 10 good and better ideas. And then the students integrate, and just working with Maria has been great. So I'm calling out Maria, but the whole Design Safe team, of course, has been instrumental in us being able to share the data and share it effectively.
What's the most important thing that you'd like the public to know about understanding resilience to natural hazards, resilience in infrastructure, and resilience that's achieved through through data and through modeling?
I guess I would finish with the last thing you said, that resilience is data driven. You know, it's really to understand the resilience of a community, we have to have data. It's not, let's say, a theoretical concept that gets derived. Like, we need data to be able to kind of understand how decisions will impact the resilience of communities. And so I think, it's just essential that we're able to pull together and share not just this one data set, but we need lots and lots of data sets that can just look at different types of communities and different types of hazards. But yeah, in the future, I think this data-driven and data-driven models is going to just be more and more essential.
Yeah, and I would add mitigation matters. And in community resilience studies and with these types of data sets, communities, different researchers can start looking at what are those different policies, what are those mitigation strategies that they can use.
You've been listening to Dan Cox and Andre Barbosa of Oregon State University. Supersized Science is part of the Texas Podcast Network, the conversations changing the world, brought to you by the University of Texas at Austin. The opinions expressed in this podcast represent the views of the host and not of the University of Texas at Austin. For the Texas Advanced Computing Center, I'm Jorge Salazar.